With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it's the Ghost. Welcome to They Call Me the Ghost. If you're a fan of the strange but true happening in our world and the dark and mysterious goings-on, then you are in the right place. If you're new, like, subscribe, and join the conversation. We have passionate people here for things that go bump in the night and all the strange things that are happening in our world. Okay, guys, have you heard of Pamela Hupp, an American woman who in 2016 murdered Luis Gumpenberger, a crime for which she is now serving life? But not only is she serving a life sentence for murder, it's really what happened before all of this that makes everything about the entire situation that more disgusting. Back in 2016, in August, there was a man named Luis Gumpenberger. He was a homeless guy. He also didn't have all of his mental faculties in place due to a car accident. Well, according to Miss Pamela Hupp, who lived in Missouri, Luis walked onto her property and then attacked her in her garage. She was actually still in her SUV, but he came at her with a knife, demanding that she be his driver. He needed to go to the bank, and specifically, he wanted to get Russ's money. He wanted to go to the bank. He wanted money, but she fought back. She got the knife out of his hands, and she ran back into her house, she says. While she's doing that, and unbeknownst to her, though, Luis had followed her into her home. He started to go for her, but she was on the phone, and by her nightstand was her gun. She got that gun, and she shot the guy 5 times. And then she proceeds to call 911.
At this time, I want to play the 911 call for you because I think the public should hear this. When I heard this 2 hours after it was made or recorded, I should say, it just didn't sound right to me, and I thought we had something unusual on our hands. So, Linda, go ahead.
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, hello, there's someone breaking in my house. Help me.
What's the address you're at?
No.
Well, me and
Gina, you
woman against your wife?
No, I'm not getting in the car with you. No.
Get away, get out. Get out.
Help. Kim, what's the address you're at?
Cut the recording off right there because in the next second, you could hear 5 gunshots ring out in succession. By her own admission to the officers who arrived at the scene just a few minutes after this, she discharged her weapon until she had, quote, no more bullets. Now, her story was that she had been running some errands and she was going back out to her car to run some more errands, and a silver car pulled up. A gentleman jumped out of the car and jumped in her front seat with a knife. She said there was a struggle that ensued. She was able to knock the knife out of this guy's hand. She jumped out of her car. She runs through her garage while he pursued her. And then she further said she was able to get inside the home, get inside her bedroom, and barricade herself while the suspect followed her inside. That's what you heard right there. We came to find out that that was a lie. That never happened that way. Now, it happened, but it was scripted.
So, as you can see, even though this could sound pretty legit, they weren't buying it. This entire thing was planned out. First off, when the police get to the scene, they find this note. It was a curious note that detailed out point-by-point instructions on how to kidnap Pamela, get the money, and then take her back. And then after she was back, the instructions were clear. They needed to get rid of her. On top of all of that, there were special instructions that in the end, it was to all look like Russ's wife. There's that name again, Russ. And to make the point even more clear, be sure, it says, to have the knife still sticking out of the neck. So, okay, it's twice now that I've mentioned Russ, but who is this guy? Let me give you a little bit of information, okay? Let me give you some background. Russell is the husband of a woman named Betsy Faria. And why this is important is because Betsy was Pam's best friend. In addition to her being Pam's best friend, she was murdered in 2011, which obviously makes things a bit more interesting. Long story short, Russ ends up being arrested for his wife Betsy's murder. As for Pam's incident, she was questioned by the police, but then released. Didn't last long, though. 7 days later, she was arrested again and then charged with first-degree murder. Now, Pam's not really handling this all of well. She's not receiving it well at all, and she asks the police if she could go use the restroom. Well, of course, they let her go. But she goes back there, and instead of actually using the restroom, she ends up stabbing herself with a pen.
There's an officer here, a female officer here that's going to escort you to the bathroom. Okay.
She is clearly extremely upset by all of this, and there's just a lot going on. So stick with me. Let's go back just a couple of years so I can help explain a few things. So Pam was born in 1958. She grew up in Delwood, Missouri. She gets married right after she has her senior prom. It's a quick wedding. They're married really young, though. It only lasts 6 years, but she does get married again, this time to a guy named Mark. And they're happy, as far as everyone could tell. They even had a son. She's working. She's a State Farm rep. And then that's where she ends up meeting her later best friend, Betsy. They become friends, of course. Time goes on. And in 2010, though, things started changing. Betsy's claiming disability. She quits her job because she was diagnosed with breast cancer. All right. So after an okay life and things looking kind of dim in the future for Betsy, she starts to think about her life and her husband and everything else, including her money. She has strong feelings that her husband would just frivolously spend anything that's left for him. So she changes all of her paperwork that has him as the beneficiary and leaves everything to her now best friend, Pamela. And why wouldn't she? During all of her situation in the cancer, Pam was there for her every step of the way. By the time Betsy gets this change done, things are looking even worse. Her cancer had spread to her liver. So things aren't looking too good for her, but hey, Pam was about to come into a lot of money, right? Well, not exactly. There was $150,000 that Betsy would leave behind, but really what she wanted was for Pam to just hold it and then give it to her daughters, even put it in a trust, keep it safe. With Betsy's cancer turning terminal, she was feeling pretty good about the choices she had made about planning for her death. Oddly and strangely enough, though, even though the cancer was spreading rapidly, this is not what would ultimately take Betsy's life. Okay, so that kind of gives you a little more background on what was going on between Betsy and Pam. So let's move on forward in time just a little bit. It's a regular evening. Russ was actually at a friend's house. He's trying to just get away and relax a little bit because of everything that's happening with his wife. And at about 9 p.m., he heads home. And when he gets there, he doesn't find Betsy as he had left her. She's now on the floor, covered in blood, with slashed wrists and a kitchen knife sticking out of her neck. All in all, she was stabbed 55 times. Well, when he finds her, he calls 911, but he's not really speaking that clearly. He's in shock.
Lincoln County 911, what is the location of your emergency? Okay, ma'am. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, I need you to take a couple deep breaths so I can see what's going on. Russell, what's going on there?
I just got home from a friend's house, and my wife killed herself. She's on the floor.
Okay, Russell, I need you to calm down, honey, okay? I need you to calm down, take a couple deep breaths. We're going to get somebody on the way there, okay? What did she do? Do you know?
She got a knife in her neck and she bent her arms.
Okay, calm down, honey.
So you have the husband that comes home and finds his wife murdered. But there's a little bit more going on this evening. Betsy had chemotherapy that night while her husband was spending time with his friends. And she's close to Pam, but she actually told Pam that evening that she had another ride arranged to get home from her chemotherapy that day, her friend Bruce. Pam shows up anyway, and she ends up driving Betsy home. This means that Pam was the last person that saw Betsy before she got to her house. And why did she just show up like that? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, the next day, Russ, the husband, is arrested. Now, he's not a fan of Betsy's story. He's not a big fan of being arrested. I mean, when he found Betsy, he called 911. He thought maybe she had killed herself. But the first responders, they would know better, right? I mean, clearly you cannot stab yourself 55 times very well with the intention of killing yourself. You can see pretty easily how he became an immediate suspect.
The fact of the matter is, you stabbed Betsy. No, I did not. I wasn't even there. You were there. No, I found her like that when I came home. I did not do this. She has no reason to be scared of me. She's never been scared of me.
The fact of the matter is, it's a sloppy crime scene. There's blood on your clothes, in your residence, in your bedroom.
I didn't even go to my bedroom.
Stabbed over 25 times.
Oh my god.
No. 25 times.
They're still counting.
Oh my god.
A burglar doesn't do that, Russ. A stranger doesn't do that. Somebody who loves that person does that. Somebody who goes in a blind rage does that.
Someone else that has any kind of motive, monetary or crime of passion.
I can't tell you what I don't know. I don't know.
And to make things worse, while he's so nervous, they conduct a polygraph, which he fails. And in defense of the first responders, the paramedics, and the police, of course this looked like a murder by the last guy there. It was obviously not a suicide, and for him to say that is suspicious from the get-go, not to mention everything else around this whole thing. And you know how it is with stabbings. Those are usually up close and personal, not typically done like this by a stranger. And don't forget about Pamela. I mean, they did talk to her also. What did she come back with? Well, she decides to talk about Russ and paints a pretty dark picture, saying he was violent and that Betsy was afraid and wanted out. They talked about a lot more than that, of course, but you get the point. She also encourages the police to take a look at Betsy's laptop, saying that Betsy used to write a lot of things down about all of her fears, telling police that Betsy was so afraid that she thought her husband was going to kill her. They sign in, they find this letter, a letter to herself about what was going on, but what was weird about it is later they determine that this document, this particular letter that says everything that they're looking into wasn't even written with any of the software on that laptop. They also realize that it's the only document within the laptop that doesn't have Betsy as the author. This document has an author unknown. So now, as you might have guessed, things are starting to get a little strange for Pamela Hupp. She was asked to take a polygraph as well, but she lawyered up, and her lawyer postpones it, saying, well, she had previous head injuries, so this would make her answers inaccurate. The police ask her to go get clearance from a doctor so that she can take this polygraph. But instead, she goes to her doctor and asks for a note that states she can't take the polygraph. In the meantime, things are still progressing on the other side. The prosecutor thought he had it in the bag with the friend Bruce. On January 4th, 2012, Mr. Bruce Ferrier is charged with first-degree murder as well as armed criminal action. The husband, Russ, he wasn't out of it either. He had to hire a defense attorney, and that attorney looked into things from all angles, and he realizes that it was just too much of a coincidence that the beneficiary of Betsy's life insurance was also the last known person to see Betsy absolutely alive. His lawyer was on it, but Russ was definitely a person of interest. Now, Pam, all she had to say is that she ended up going home, while Russ, he had a lot more of an alibi. He was with all of his friends. They were backing up his story of what he'd done that evening. Investigators took to CCTV, and sure enough, they do see Russ running his errands, heading in the direction of his friends. And atop of all of that, They notice that Russ is wearing the same clothes when he finds his wife that he was in earlier on CCTV. He had no blood on him anywhere. With 55 stab wounds, that's pretty much impossible. Now, they did find some slippers that had some blood on them, but to Russ's defense, his attorney says they got blood on them and somehow someone put them in his closet as a type of setup. And they're trying to set this all up before any trial starts, but the trial does start. On November 18th, back in 2013, for Russ, things weren't looking very good. And in the end, they weren't good at all. He ends up being sentenced to life in prison, no parole. So that happens, and Russ ends up inquiring about what's left. What's left of the life he had? What's going on with his children and the $150,000 meant for them? He questions Pam, asking if those dollars are going to be available for his daughters. Surprisingly for Russ, Pam says no, that she just can't deal with any of that at the moment because her own mother died. Another coincidence? Well, Pam's telling everyone that she died of Alzheimer's. It wasn't exactly Alzheimer's. She had Alzheimer's and then somehow fell from a third-floor balcony and to her death. So Pam can't deal with the money at that time, of course, because now her mom has Alzheimer's, and then she ends up falling off this balcony, and then she dies. Well, post-mortem, they find out that Pam's mother had 8 times more Ambien in her system than any typical dose, and not only was she drugged, she was overly broken as well, meaning that so many bones were broken, even the doctors weren't quite sure that that fall could cause all that damage. But Pam's mother was old, and stranger things have happened. They decide no investigation is necessary, and it's basically closed. Oh, and let me mention, why was Pam visiting her mother the day she died? Because she was. She was there to discuss her insurance policy. So all of this is going on, and still, this case gets closed. Here's Pam with the police on that.
Did she really have dementia? I just found out last week she really didn't have dementia. Before she went into this home, we had to have her tested. So her doctor sent, my brother did, so I didn't know, to a neurologist to do the Alzheimer dementia test. So you know what home to put her in. He did it, and the doctor said, yeah, she's got a little bit of problems, whatever. She's 77, whatever. Does she have dementia? No. Do we say that in our family? Heck yeah, because to us it was like, oh, there goes grandma again. She's got Alzheimer's. We do all the jokes. When people ask, yeah, to me she had dementia.
Right.
By a neurologist, she did not. That's why she was placed in that home, and that's why it was no threat to be on the third floor.
Right.
But to everybody else on this planet, I took a 210-pound woman and threw her through railings. How do you do that? How does a man do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, to everyone, well, yeah, I know how stories get out of hand.
So we have Pam. She thinks she's getting out of this one, but things are not over yet. In 2014, she ends up getting sued by Betsy's daughters because they never actually got the money. So Pam tries to at least make it seem like she's making good on it and trying to avoid any more eyes on her. She goes ahead, sets up a trust that is supposed to be for $100,000, only it doesn't actually end up to be that amount. In fact, the police find out later that it doesn't even happen at all. Well, things keep moving forward. As we all know, time goes on, right? Well, in February of 2015, Russ is actually granted a new trial after they appeal and win. And all of a sudden, when this happens, Pam comes out with some new memories, including the fact that she saw Russ that night at the crime scene. Well, I'm sure a lot of you already know this. The police and detectives, they don't like stories that change, so this doesn't go over very well. First, it doesn't work for Russ being convicted. He's actually released on November 17th in 2015 and exonerated. 1 year later, it would be, that Pam would have her run-in with Luis, and 7 days after that, it would be that she herself is arrested. And let's face it, the police already sort of had an eye on her. Things weren't all on the up and up with Pam. They end up finding out that her phone was pinging in Luis's neighborhood not even an hour before that incident. And by August, the police were ready to present their theory in that case. It was their belief that Pam had swayed this man to come to her house. She told him she was a Dateline producer, and she even offered to pay him to reenact a 911 scenario for a part in a show that she was doing. And he's thinking, this is great, only instead of doing a show, the guy gets murdered. The police also find another report. There was a woman who filed a police report a few days earlier, and the police were able to put it together that the woman that this lady was talking about was Pam. In this woman's report, she says there was a blonde woman who introduced herself as Kathy, saying she was a Dateline producer and was offering $1,000 to reenact this 911 scenario. Of course, this woman who works for Dateline didn't have a business card, and things were looking a little bit suspicious. And although this woman was excited maybe to do this, with how strange everything was and her instincts were kicking in, she ends up changing her mind. And security footage finds her driving off and having this, so they know that she's legit. This is all bad for Pam. In her note, she even talks about leaving the money over by Russ's house. And sure enough, they find a bag of money with bills in the same numbering sequence as what was found on Luis. And the blonde woman got away. But it seems like Luis did not. He fell for it. He wanted that cash. Even with things stacking up all around her, Pam still sticks to her innocence through all of this. But she's not out of the woods. The latest here on this is the investigation gets reopened. They have enough. They feel like they should look into it all again. With Pam's mother and then her fall, that one has not been reopened yet, but the medical examiner did update her report of death from accidental to undetermined. Check out this video.
We'll reopen the murder investigation for Betsy Faria. The reason? Pam Hupp and her plea deal in the murder of a St. Charles County man. Fox 2 investigator Chris Hayes is live with an exclusive interview with Russ Faria, Betsy Faria's widower. Chris?
Sandy, bombshell news out of Lincoln County because of a new prosecutor there. So I called up Russ. I said, hey, I got to get your reaction. He said, come on over to where I work at All Looped Up Cycles in St. Charles. I got to know, you've been dying for this for a long time. Did you think this would ever come?
I had my doubts, you know, and especially after yesterday's proceedings, I didn't know that it would ever come at all, you know, but I was satisfied with the fact that Pam Hupp would be locked up for the rest of her life.
It's been 8 years since the murder, and I remember when you were acquitted about 4 years ago, you told me you wanted this reopened, and you've told me that repeatedly. So is it too late?
No, I don't think it's ever too late. I know there's no statute of limitations on murder, and my attorney Joel Schwartz has even told the U.S. attorneys to appoint him special prosecutor, and he'd guarantee him a conviction.
The pressure was tough and strong on Pam. And in the end, in June of 2019, she pleads guilty with an Alford plea. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's basically saying for Pam that she's not going to admit she killed anyone, but because it seems they have so much evidence, she really doesn't feel like she could win at trial either, so she'll go ahead and plead guilty. It's a way for them to get a guilty plea out of a suspect without the suspect actually having to fully admit that they did the crime. So somehow it makes the criminal feel better, even though in the end, everything's the same. She's doing her time. It did get her out of the death penalty, I suppose. But how would you like life in prison? Because that's where she's going to be. No parole for the rest of her days. All that work, it got her absolutely nowhere. These kinds of cases and crimes always make me wonder. You know, a lot of these people have a lot that they're doing. They're actually very busy individuals. Maybe she should have put all that energy and thinking into something else. Who knows? Maybe her life would have actually been successful and she could have been wealthy all on her own. But like I've said before, these criminals that think everything out and think they've got it handled, they're just not that bright. Not in the end. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.